So now we're going to contemplate two of the most important things to come out of Jamaica, to wit, sound systems and dub. So the sound, both of these cannot be overestimated. So the sound system is the delivery system. The sound system is what carries the culture. You know, the sound system, if you put it this way, when you leave home and you go elsewhere, if you can't take it, you make it when you get there, because it's that important. You know, people get very obsessed about it and follow their DJ. Like, I was a Jar Shaka follower, and I probably always will be, for example. But the sound system is a very, very serious thing. It's not just a disco, you know? I mean, the first sound system in Kingston was Tom the Great Sebastian downtown, and then a number of others came about. But the point is, it's really a way of life, a sound system. And it's not just a way of life involving a whole bunch of people working on the sound, but it's also a business, an industry. It was, you know, for a lot of people, it was their living, you know? And this led to a lot of sound system wars. There were really bloody battles on the streets of Kingston as people like trying to get their sound system in and trying to get dislocation for their sound system. So, you know, it was fun, but it could even be a bit dangerous. One of the important aspects of the sound system was exclusivity. Don't forget, as you were saying, we're pre-MP3, we're pre-DVD, you know, not everybody has music in their home. And say you have a favourite record, maybe the only way you can hear it is to go out to the sound system. So Cox and Dodd was telling me how, you know, in the 60s, he used to fly over to America, he used to go to New Orleans, he used to go here, there, New York, everywhere, go to all the record shops and just go through the basement and go through the attic and so rummage through everything until he found a record that he liked. And what would he do then? Scratch the label off. That's what you do. So you make sure that nobody else has that sound. And that's what, you know. And, you know, actually, unlike other areas of life, in sound system, really, size is everything, you know. Because what you want from a sound system is you want it to be, well, we can't have it here, but, you know, we're being very muted. But really, say you were to hear Kush out in a normal thing, like one of these Brooklyn sessions, it's got to be it's a very dominating thing where, you know, the bass and the treble really rearranges you molecularly, puts you in a whole other place. Yeah. So, and the sound systems were an incredible incubator of talent. Like all the people who went to rock Jamaican music that changed the world, lest we forget, came out of the sound systems. People like, and here's a roll call of fame, King Tubby, the creator of dub, Cox and Dodd, Studio One label, Duke Reed from Treasure Isle. That's Cox and Dodd, there he goes. And there's Lee Perry, who did some of the most radical and revolutionary soundscapes of all. And people like Joe Gibbs and Bunny Lee. So, okay, here we are, we've got our sound system. We've got our place, they haven't managed to chase us off it, despite their machetes. And we have our DJs. And so, what is a DJ? The DJ is part of the crew. And as you're there with your record, somebody like you, Roy, I, Roy, Big U from Prince Jazzbo would speak over the record. And this was like an innovation and the first time it had ever really happened. And what's kind of interesting is that sometimes people would say like really deep, intelligent, profound things. You know, like the equivalent of what Public Enemy used to call hip-hop being the CNN of rap. The sound system could fulfill that function. But at the same time, somebody could just say a whole load of absolute gibberish. And it would work incredibly well, because what matters is the flow, it's the way you ride the rhythm. That's what makes a stick in the head. You know, but of course, as we see, music is not static, we've got to be there carrying our culture, and the sound system is how we do it. So, after the Second World War, many, many people from the West Indies came over to live and work in Great Britain. They were actually invited there with ads in the newspaper and so on. You know, people actually thought it was the motherland at the time, just sort of rather poignant thing to remember. But of course, you can't get a bunch of Jamaicans in London or Birmingham, Bristol without having the music and the scene, can you? So, inevitably, actually the first Shebeen, as I understand it, was started by this guy called Duke Vin. He took the initiative. He actually opened a Shebeen in his living room. Now let me explain what a Shebeen is. A Shebeen is an Irish word, again another hangover from when they were a lot of Irish people as overseers on the plantations. And Shebeens was just, is always like some really grotty dive. It's like some awful abandoned spot that nobody's been in for years, and people would break in and take it over. I mean, that's if you weren't doing it in your living room. And then the place would be rocking, you know. And of course, there was no fire marshals or codes, forget that. It was just a, you know, it was just a place that you could party, you know. And I remember that where I used to live in Ladbroke Grove, there used to be like 8 or 12 of these places all in the distance of the house. And it's really great because you could just go out like at 2 in the morning. 50p or a quid, you could be in there, you know, with your nutriment and your Lucozade and your baby sham and your red stripe and of course your red juice spliff. Not that I'm saying I did, because it's still illegal here. Unlike in London where it's now been criminalised, I feel I have to mention that. But, you know, also these places were quite jolly because we've got to remember that this was pre-guns. So there were knives, but there weren't guns. And it was also pre-crack, so everybody was spliffed up, didn't have guns, weren't all edgy, so everything was pretty mellow. Much more mellow than you would get in a similar thing now, you know? So the Shebeens came to be the crucible of British reggae. And you have, again, names to conjure with. The pioneers were McTumby and the Cimarrons, and then following after them, were people like Aswad and Steel Pulse. And great, we've got some punks going on there because I'm just about to talk about them. So the Shebeens came to be the home of what Bob Marley called the punky reggae party. Because the Shebeens, well, I can speak best for London, but I know it was in other places too, were really the scene, especially because in England everything shuts up really early. So is it the Shebeens used to get the that you would get people like the Clash and the Slits and the Pistols and Boy George. In fact, on Boy George's record, he had the DJ from my local Shebeen, Weasel, on it. So that's how engaged they all were and how it spread over all the different cultures, you know? But the really basic idea to come out of all this, sorry about my little nostalgia to Shebeen there for a minute. Of course they don't have Shebeens anymore because people can go out and rent a regular club. You don't have to break into a house anymore, you know. But at the same time, that lawless thing was sort of fun anyway. Anyway, but the big thing to come out of all of this was the whole idea of seizing control of your entertainment and not letting a little thing like the law get in the way of you having your party when you want it. You know, that's what the Beastie Boys call the right to party. And it was this outlaw attitude that led to really, as I said, change the whole of the musicals to follow. Because of these Jamaicans opening up the Shebeens, people started at a later date doing warehouse parties, the equivalent thing in abandoned warehouses. And that's what, how come you got raves, which were these big, huge dances where people would take over a farm and fill all the fields with dancers and just grabbing it, you know, grabbing your fun and not letting anybody stop you. So, yet another great Jamaican contribution to the world.
I'm not sure if this is working. We're going to get back to the lecture in a moment, but before we get back to the lecture, I want to remind people that the Black Cord is on sale. Is it over here? Where is it on sale? Black Cord. So go gobble it up because it really is a small miracle, as we know.